Hello and welcome back to Journey of the Monkey King. We had a few delays recently. There have been illnesses, there have been weddings, there has been life.
Yeah, illnesses and weddings are very comparable in my opinion.
Oh god, let's not.
Both of them knock you out. They appear to be contagious. Oh, I know too many people getting married. I'm delighted you've decided to share the same fiscal space.
The same fiscal space.
No joke. This is how my friend's cousin proposed to his fiance. They've been together for like 15 years and were childhood sweethearts, and it's all very lovely and sweet. But they lived together for like 5 years, and one day they were doing the dishes and he turns around to her and goes, "Would you like to share the same fiscal space?" So they went to an accountant and figured out if it was worth their while, and they got married. And that's exactly how I want it to happen for me.
The main purpose of marriage does seem to be tax benefits.
Yes. I'm semi-self-employed and I need all the help I can get.
I'm single announcement?
It's a sort of more a desperate plea for an accountant, if nothing else.
If there's any single accountants out there.
I mean, I can pig in creative ways. Very creative ways.
It's great exposure.
Yeah, I'm going to stop pimping myself out for financial advice, and we will get on with the show, I suppose.
Yeah, so if you can recall, the Pilgrims were in the women's state, or women's country, or whatever, however you want to call it.
We recorded that episode before the big awful thing happened.
Yeah, we did, didn't we? Did I record a warning before, or did I just write it in the episode? I think I just wrote in the episode description that it was recorded before that all happened. We got serious enough in it about abortion, even without that.
Yeah, yeah. There are ways you can access it. That's what I will say. There are networks that are available to you. But it sucks. Anyway, fun, happy podcast.
Yeah, so the Pilgrims are still in the women's state, and they actually, a while after the whole pregnancy thing, they come to the capital, and they're greeted by crowds of women gawking at them, who are very excited at the prospect of human seeds being available.
Human seed, oh. And it's a monk.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. You pray for years for human seeds, and then the gods send you a monk.
Send a celibate monk.
Yeah.
And a bunch of monster guides. Although, I guess some of them could be into that.
I don't know. We haven't heard anything awful about Sandy the Sand Monk.
I just meant that they're like, literally, like one of them is a pig man, one of them's a monkey man, and Sandy is also like kind of monstrous looking. He's not described as being like any kind of animal, but he's like huge and has like blue skin and stuff.
To me, you're selling him.
So anyway, Baji kind of tries to play up being big scary monster guy to scare them off, but he doesn't actually scare them off. They just kind of they keep more of a distance, but they still gather around and watch them come in.
There are monster fuckers everywhere.
So an official tells them that they need to register at the male reception post house, and she'll go announce them to the queen. So the queen is very interested in the Tong Monk. She had an auspicious dream last night, and now the first ever man has arrived in their country, and he's like Bond brother to the Emperor of China, and he's hot.
And still a fucking monk.
Yeah, that's the one problem. But she does decide on the spot.
That little thing.
She does decide on the spot to propose to him.
It's direct.
Also, just like, apparently this is the first time a man has ever been here. So the everyone who works at the mail reception post house must have the cushiest jobs in the country. They've literally never had to do anything but make sure the place is kept all right.
It's that sweet civil service gig, you know what I mean? I'm sure somebody knows where the form is kept. I'm sure they're all going to take their time too, so they can ogle the hot monk.
Yeah. So the queen tells the grand preceptor to be the go-between. And so she goes off to propose to Tripitaka on the queen's behalf, and she says if he consents, then she will ride out to meet him on like her little chariot. So when the grand preceptor tells the pilgrims of the proposal, Baji says, you know, my boss has no interest in love or money or being a ruler, so queen might as well just stamp our passports and we'll be on our way. I would gladly accept, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, probably. Something about being a kept person makes me horribly uncomfortable. But also, I like money. And this seems like and I am very lazy, and this seems like a very easy situation.
Yeah, the grand preceptor tells him to his face that he's way too ugly to possibly consider that. So Tripitaka asks Wukong what to do, and Wukong says, "Oh, you're never going to have any opportunity like this again." And Tripitaka is like, "Yeah, the pilgrimage though."
The quest from God that we're supposed to be on, that thing.
So the grand priest, they're saying this in front of her, and the grand preceptor just says, "Oh well, your disciples can carry on. She's no interest. The queen has no interest in them." And Wukong just accepts the marriage on Tripitaka's behalf, who fails to object to this in any way.
I mean, he's technically Tripitaka's protector and guardian. Yeah. So I guess that means he's like his dad.
Tripitaka is meant to be in charge. He's meant to be the one in charge.
That has never strictly been true, though, has it?
So Baji suggests there should be a big banquet to celebrate. When the grand preceptor leaves, Tripitaka calls Wukong monkey head, which is previously what like Guanyin has been calling him. I don't think she's ever said that in front of Tripitaka, so it doesn't really make sense, but I would like to think that he's picked it up from her somehow.
Yeah, I think that's just a them thing though. Yeah, I think he'll take it from Guanyin, but...
Tripitaka asks why the hell he did that, and Wukong says... You know, she's a queen. She's not going to take no for an answer. If you'd said no, she would never have certified our travel rescript or let us pass through. And she would have tried to stop us. And if that had happened, I would have had to kill a load of people to get us out. And you wouldn't have liked that. I will point out, the queen has actually not shown... any indication of being coercive in this. She does.
No.
She does like literally say, "I will write out to meet him if he consents to this earlier." There's no indication she wants to be coercive here. Wukong is just assuming she will be.
Wukong thinks he's... I don't know if he really thinks that. I think he's just mad for a wedding. He just wants the day out.
He could be also just fucking with Tripitaka, yeah. As this well.
Yeah. So he's pimping him out for a passport.
My cat has figured out how to open the drawer I keep my hair bands in. And she loves playing with them.
That's glorious chaos. I also heard her meowing.
Oh, did you? I don't want to sure. Okay, she stopped at the drawer now and she sat down next to me on the desk. So hopefully she'll be, if I give her a few rubs, she might settle down for a little while.
Meow.
She can't hear you. I have headphones on.
I don't care. You see a cat, you meow, or you hear a cat, you meow. That's how it works. I got to meet Asog in person for the first time ever a couple weeks ago.
Very important milestone for the podcast.
Yes.
Actually, one second here.
Kitty! In an audio-only medium, this is useless to you, but I can assure you the cat is regal yet very cute.
Yeah, MJ has just been given the benefit of a cat cam.
Yay! Kitty.
Okay.
This is recording, so if you subscribe to our Patreon.
Oh god, yeah, I guess I am recording the video, but for Zoom as well, am I? Because I said it'll record it automatically. I didn't even think of that. I can, yeah, you can get some footage of my badly chipped painted nails stroking a cat for a few minutes, I guess.
There's a rose. Elsa's gonna be, you're gonna be a star, kid.
Okay.
Make you a star.
Right. So Trippy Taka tells Wukong, what you have just said is most virtuous, but I fear that if the queen asks me to enter the palace, she will want me to perform the conjugal rite with her. And how could I consent to lose my original yang and destroy the virtue of Buddhism, to leak my true sperm and fall from the humanity of our faith?
Okay, so first of all, virgin. Second of all, leak his true sperm?
It is not, he is not only a virgin, it is like part of the text that he has never come. Ever.
That cannot be.
That has
to be. Like, isn't it a thing that the true sperm, though, does he think like the nocturnal emissions are his lie sperm? Fake sperm? Does he carry around fake sperm?
He has been a monk since like 2 days after he is born. This man is adamant he has never come.
I don't think that's biologically possible, but I don't know enough about science to refute it in the great words of your man from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, so I guess.
So Wukong tells him to play along till the disciples are about to leave, and then when they're on their way, ask to go see them off at the edge of the city, and then just fucking leg it with them. That's the plan.
Is he going to get the passport stamped, though? That's
they're going to get the passport stamped first. And then the disciples are leaving the city, just run.
He needs to marry her so we can leave. It's like a reverse green card situation.
Yeah. So when the queen heads off to meet her new fiancé, the narration remarks that though this state of Western Liang happens to be the dominion of women, the carriage and chariot are not less opulent than those of China. Even though the women are in charge, even though.
Sure, they're grand with a motor, really, once you give them the chance.
So the queen sees Trippy Taka and finds him incredibly hot. And she asks him, royal brother of the great Tong, aren't you coming to take and ride the phoenix? And if you think that's not intended as an innuendo, Trippy Taka's reaction to this is to turn completely scarlet.
Oh, they're cute when they're blushing. Also, extremely hot. This is the first man she's ever seen.
Yes, also true.
So, it's a low bar, is all I'm saying.
He is repeatedly referred to as handsome throughout the book, not just by her. But yes, this is the only man she has ever seen.
Okay, if he's that hot, it's like giving a habanero. It's like giving like a what is it, a ghost pepper to someone who's never had chili before.
Yeah. So she's kind of openly leering at him, and Baji is also leering at her, but she doesn't really notice. And they have a big feast, lots of vegetarian food. Among other things listed is butt on mushrooms, which I assume is a typo and it's meant to be button mushrooms, but I found it funny that it says butt on mushrooms.
Butt on mushrooms. Get that butt on my mushrooms. I don't know what anatomy I'm referring to there. It's like literally sit on my chest. I don't know. Someone out there is into that.
Look at the camera.
I know, I'm looking at the cat. I've got cat tent. Hey, look, I made you some cat tent. Baby.
After the feast, the queen stamps the passport with her seal, putting it next to those of the precious Image Elephant Kingdom, the Black Rooster Kingdom, and the Cartslow Kingdom, if you recall all of those. She notices that the document doesn't mention the names of the three disciples, and Tripitaka explains, like, oh yeah, they weren't with me on the original start of the pilgrimage. They just kind of joined me later on. She decides to just add an extra bit to the end of the document, in the first person that voice, as if she was writing from the perspective of Tripitaka, and just adds an extra bit to this document from the Emperor of China.
Do you mean all this time he's been smuggling illegal monsters across borders?
Yeah, they're not mentioned on his papers at all. He's just like, oh yeah, those are my guys, they're with me, it's fine.
Emperor says it's fine, don't look too closely at that paper.
So she tries to give them some travel money, but Wukong refuses it. So she offers some silk for new clothes for them to be made for them, and he refuses that too. And finally, she offers them just some rice for the road, and Baji accepts it immediately. And after the feast, the new royal couple see the disciples to the city gate. And the people of the city crowd the streets again to see their new king, and the whole entourage follows the disciples out to the western gate of the city, where Tripitaka dismounts the royal chariot, asks the queen to let him leave, and continue on his pilgrimage. Wu Jing just like grabs Tripitaka from the crowd and just starts pulling him away from the queen, when suddenly a woman runs out from the crowd and asks Tripitaka where he's going, and asks to just fuck him.
Wow.
So Wu Jing calls her a hussy and like just tries to beat her over the head with his staff, which seems like a bit of an overreaction to me.
Yeah.
Suddenly she calls up a cyclone and whisks Tripitaka away into the air and disappears with him.
Okay, so she's horrible, yes, but also the balls to kidnap the queen's husband. Jesus.
If you want to find out what's the deal with her, you'll have to listen back to the next episode. This is a pretty short one, actually.
I do feel for the queen with this really horribly dramatic, very public breakup, though. I mean, that's it, like, in front of the entire kingdom.
Zoom is telling me now that there's a 40-minute time limit on meetings now.
Oh yeah, you need to sign into your premium service.
I'm not gonna pay for Zoom. Maybe we should find a different thing to record. I knew this was a thing, but I thought it was only if you had more than two people in a call, did they like change it to just be for all calls?
I don't know if it's for all calls, but I see it as a feature rather than a bug, quite frankly. Because if you have shit to discuss and you get a bunch of people in the room and say, listen, we've got 40 minutes, we got to get it done, things get done.
That's fair. It is annoying.
I will never pay for Zoom.
Yeah, I will never pay either, but it could be annoying if we have to fucking, like, just if it kicks us out and
switch
then we
platforms.
Have to do it in the middle of an episode or something.
Yeah. Podcasts, social media things, show notes.
Yeah.
Comedy gigs, Snolf.
You can Snolf. You could find me on Twitter, but don't follow me on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter, and please do. Like, if you were gonna follow Quiva, you can follow me instead. I don't have a cat, and I'm a bit less entertaining. But...
Follow MJ twice. I don't know why I said don't follow me on Twitter. I thought it'd be funny just to do with the opposite thing that is expected. Probably wasn't. I'm tired. I'm very tired. I don't know. It's not even 7 o'clock. Why am I this tired?
I need coffee.
We were never good at ending this show. We've gotten worse.
Someone told us that it was charming, and then we decided to lean into it, and I feel it was a mistake. Bye.
Bye.